Good morning again. This is kind of the first day of spring here. I think the windows are a little bit blown out with the sky, but it will get greener and greener week by week, I think. And it's what people on the East Coast live for. So it's really exceptional, beautiful. And it's so much about the cycle of existence. We didn't totally get that when we lived in California. It was just kind of like always there. To appreciate its return and its disappearance and its return and its disappearance is a kind of gift, but it also means you have to go through the loss. And California didn't provide that exactly. On the other hand, it gave us floods and droughts and things like that. So we had our stuff too. But these cycles are really beautiful, and I think the consistencies that go through them are beautiful, and the great consistency for us is this gathering that we, for over 50 years now, have come together on Sunday mornings, as people do in many cultures and many religions, but sitting to be still, to be open, to be available to this unspoken, unknowable reality is it's an extraordinary thing. And you bring yourself to the table, and the table provides the banquet that you need, and it's very simple. All you have to do is be available, and the nourishment tastes more like a hug than it tastes like a Hershey bar. But the hug part is really, really special. And those of you who know what a hug feels like, enjoy it because you're getting one. Three words for today: spiritual security blanket, which has so many variables. One, it's really wonderful to be wrapped up in one. Two, you have to be careful if you own it, because it can move into something called spiritual arrogance. I have a spiritual security blanket. The minute there is an ownership of that, it transforms into something else. Seems to protect you in the world from all the drama and danger and potential suffering that life has to offer. But it actually has a kind of arrogance that makes you attract the very things you're looking for, you're looking to protect yourself against. We all are secure. We all have an enormous blessing in our lives. We all are wrapped up in this protective space. And we all have to go. I use the metaphor now a lot of babies feeling hugged. Security blankets are a hug. They allow us to feel comforted. They allow us to feel somewhat secure. But when you start to separate into an ownership of that blanket, as though you know something, as though you have the truth, as though you can pontificate about this reality, you do damage to yourself. You do damage to those around you, because what happens really inside is that you are no longer protected by the security. You are using it as a divisive mechanism to keep you from suffering, keep you from harm. And to make people think you have the answers to their problems and questions. And that becomes very difficult in human life. And I've been observing in myself and in others this sense of, I have the answers. I am secure in the answers. I have a certainty. This is how it is. This is the world of spiritual awareness and spiritual attainment. And there are those of us who speak like we know something. And it's at that point that the security blanket becomes problematic, because we don't know. We are not knowers. We are beers. The knowing is a profound sense of surrender. Sometimes you can articulate the knowing. Sometimes you may not be able to articulate it, but you do know. But if you own it, I have to say there's the problem, the potential problem, that in owning it, you separate from its great embrace. I've described this quite a bit, but it's been central to my experience recently, that all knowing has fallen away. That I really and truly am clueless about what we're all doing here, what this journey is, how it works, what karma is, what spiritual practice is, what anointing yourself with the gift of being connected to a guru and a teacher and all of that stuff. I am clueless on some level. And on the other hand, what's been happening to me every morning when I wake up is, it's like a light goes off or goes on. And all I do is go. And it floods the day. It floods the day. I have no idea if this is a permanent condition. I have no idea the how or the why of it. I have some sense of having sat for a long time and made myself available to this practice. And it's kind of like a yes to that. There is a certain sense of nothing special about it, and yet there is a sense of infinite beauty in it, and it has nothing to do with me, and it has everything to do with all of us. That this light that exists when I wake up is our light. It is a light that we share. And it has taken me a very long time to go, ah. 50 years of practice of sitting, like all of us, 50 years of practice to begin to experience this absolute centrality that has no descriptive aspect. There's nothing I can say about it other than use the word light. I will tell you, and I've said this before, that only reactivity to it is what I would call gratitude, although it's bigger than that. It's, again, metaphor that I'm using a lot. It's being picked up in the crib in the morning and hugged. Only it's kind of always there. One can turn one's attention away. And one can become lost in the world and think it's not there anymore. But for this moment in time, it isn't going anywhere. And I am um, aware of its using me to speak with you, all of you, and to share with you that none of us are separate from this. But one of the things that can separate us, other than just ignorance in general, lost, being lost in the world, lost in the day-to-day of life, is thinking you know. And so I have the experience sometimes of people who give me spiritual discourse, and I feel nothing but it's a separation between the two of us. It's a kind of hierarchical dialogue. And I'm trying to just express, if possible, that it's not to be taught. It's certainly not to be verbalized very well. We can try. But I watch these teachers who teach, you know, the getting to the singularity, to the oneness and all of that. And I can fall in that camp. I know that. But all I'm trying to say, and again, it's not like it's new business or new knowledge, but it's there now. It is there now. And the more you let go of your spiritual identity, the more you let go of your career identity, the more you let go of your personal identity. And just by letting go, just mean let it relax. Just let it whatever do whatever it's going to do. What comes as a result is not an arrival, it's a revelation of the always has been. And the always has been is, for me at this moment, a worshipful space. And I'm not trying to say I have it and you don't, which happens a lot in the spiritual context of those who know and those who don't know, and you can arrive, and if you do this, you'll get it, and you don't do this, you won't get it. Yes, maybe, maybe, but all I can say is it's there. It's there. They call it realization for a reason, because it's not like to get or arrive or to become or to work toward or any of that. It's like, oh, oh. And again, to give it the simplest context, it's like feeling like somebody has picked you up and loves you. They just love you. It loves you. And what is it? Give it any name you want. Call it life, call it God, call it the infinite, call it the eternal. I don't know what name to give it, but all I want to do, honestly, as a being at this point in time, one is share it with you, and two, find the avenues into whatever might be distracting you or deflecting you from knowing this. And somehow this thing says what to do. It's like, you know, mother's holding a baby and trying this and trying that and trying this and trying that until the baby stops crying. You know, they have an instinct to try the different things, and then, oh, that worked. And then, of course, the next time you sit, the mother has to try something else because that didn't work. But the thing I'm presented with is hug everybody in the way they need to be hugged. Say the thing that needs to be said. Do the thing, and they, forgive me, I pluralize it, and I don't know what they is, but the directives are follow the motion, follow the movement, follow the expression, follow the heart, and go into every person and find that thing that needs this and do it. Do it. And it doesn't have to just be people sitting in the class. It doesn't have to be a meditative experience. It can happen everywhere all day long. And I'm finding this bizarrely interesting thing. It is bringing into the moment of my life every day now people who I can't say want or need or whatever. I don't know how to describe it, but it's just a kind of an opportunity to give a gift. And one of the things that gets in the way of that gift is spiritual certainty and spiritual arrogance and spiritual knowledge, which immediately turns it into a subject-object situation. There is no subject-object. It's just wordless. It's totally wordless. And every one of you is already in that space. You've been there when you were in the crib, trust me. Now, you may have had bad mothering from a particular physical mother, but what I've talked about before, a lot of the times when you're in the crib and you're not getting it from your mother, you just lie there, and in a kind of meditative way, you find yourself suddenly being held. Something is holding you. Something is okay. Something is loving you, because it's not coming from outside. It's rising up from inside who you are. That is infinitely available to all of us. We meditate to go back into that space to find it, to know that it's there. One thing we pretty much learned in the world, and Buddha was very clear about it, is the impermanence of everything outside us. So if you make your joy and bliss, or whatever you want to call it, something sourced by outer manifested form, it's a problem, because it won't last. One way or another, it will be taken away. And we all know that. Everyone knows that. And at one point, your mom won't come in the room, or whoever else is taking care of you for the day. They won't arrive. So you need to go, ideally, into that place that you know from infanthood that goes, you're okay. You're okay. And it's more than that. It really is, you're okay. And it loves you. It just loves you. And there's not one of you who's listening to this right now or is sitting and viewing this who isn't already in that place. And if you don't feel in that place, don't beat yourself up for it, because that's stupid and won't get you anywhere. Just be quiet. Be still. Be available. First of all, I'll tell you that in this particular sitting class that we do, that love is surging forth. It's surging into you. There's not one of you who isn't being touched by it. And I guarantee you that. It is absolutely giving you a taste of it. And maybe more than a taste. It's actually giving you something that you can go and wake up to every morning, and you will feel it. You will feel the light. You will feel the hug. You will feel the beauty. And as soon as you put it into some kind of knowledge base, it kind of gets corrupted. So don't do that. Don't say, oh, I got it. Because when you say, I got it, it reinforces the you that is in the material space. When you get rid of that you that says, I got it, you just have it, or you are it. More, that's the key. You are it. You have always been it. And this life that we live, which is an amazing expression of it, is like exquisite to witness, exquisite to be in the presence of, even when it's awful and painful and full of suffering and drama and difficulty. I cannot tell you how much that stuff is a richness of something greater. You will not regret all of the pain and suffering at the end, because it was part of something unbelievably you. And again, I hope that doesn't sound like I know and you don't, because it's not that. I don't know. I'm only expressing sort of verbally what wants to be said via this other spokesperson being presence. It's like a joke. I don't know what to say. How do you give it a name? I can't give it a name, but boy, oh boy. When it pours through, and it does, and it pours through for you, you should know that. When you guys come here and you sit here and you come here online and you sit, it pours through. It just pours. And each one of you become a recipient, because it loves you. It loves you more than you love you. So if you can get yourself out of the way, you will just be a receptor of, that's all you are, of love. And then, if you will, a transmitter of that. You will transmit this to everyone around you. And if you want to serve life and serve the creative force that brought all this into being, you just become that vessel of light and love that goes out into the world. And then you remember Rudy's line, which is brilliant, which is, if it's in front of you, it's yours. So you don't have to go seeking it so much. It just happens to appear. And you go, but why them? Why that person? I don't know. That's the problem. No, you can't do that. You can't make it an intellectual journey. You just have to go, look what's arisen. Look what's there. And it's surprising the things that appear in front of you, the people who appear in front of you, and your mind can be very, very mean-spirited and go, no. Forget that. If it's there, it's yours. And if it's yours, love it. Love it. Bring it into play. Feel yourself wrapping yourself around it and being grateful that it appeared and being grateful that you as a being are being used to embrace the totality of which we are all members. We are all part and parcel of this thing. And in the magical, unknowable reality, we are the totality itself. I know that sounds, that's pontifical. You know, like, yeah, I know that. But in a way, that is known. You will find that that is known. Just don't own it. Just go, thank you. Thank you. And it's that quiet. And I know it sounds foolish, but I do that all day long. All day long. It doesn't stop. If I remember to put the cap back on the toothpaste, thank you. Because I'm at an age now where I forget to do things like that. You know, I'm at an age where, you know, did I brush my teeth or did I not brush my teeth? You know, so when I do remember that I brushed my teeth, I go, thank you. It is guiding me through because my mind and my brain are just dissolving. Blanche's is dissolving. We're sharing the dissolution together. It's an incredibly beautiful, bizarre experience. You know, I know others of us are doing the same thing. And I'm talking to you from an age where you guys, you know, still have 20, 30 years maybe to get to. But trust me, you get to a point and you let go of who you were and what your career was and all the crap that defined you as a person, you let it go and you let it go and you drop it off, you get lighter and lighter and lighter, and then maybe you become enlightened. You've just dropped off all the stuff and it didn't matter. I couldn't, you know, I had this wonderful career, you know, and I have no interest in it. At all, none. It was great. I have wonderful children. I love them. You know, they're a big, important part of my being, you know, but I understand that the journey in life goes on without me, without Blanche, without our physical presence, that we have already done the thing we were meant to do here, which is love them. And that was it. And so you discover after a while that all you are here to do is love one another, care for one another, hug one another, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And when you arrive at that understanding and that space, it doesn't matter who you were or what you achieved or didn't achieve or how much money you made or didn't make or what they're throwing away from your life, because they're going to throw everything out of your life. Trust me, either you're going to do it or your children or somebody's going to do it and it'll all get thrown away. Throw it away now, not necessarily physically or materially, just detach, let go. And what you will find is light and lightness that is so beautiful and so wondrous that all you will do is go all day long. That's the journey. Don't turn it into a spiritual teaching. Don't lord that understanding over anybody. You are not special. You will never be special, except you are always and have always been special. Just get that. So I get very long-winded, as you all know. I'm going to stop. If anybody has questions about that or anything else, I can do my best to try to answer that.
I have a question.
Sure.
In previous talks, you've spoken about that you spend a good part of interaction in comforting this word. Could you speak a bit about that?
Sure. Bob's asking me about comforting. One, I have been comforted in my life, so I know what it feels like. And not everybody has been. So not everybody's been given the gift of comfort from the material sense. Comforting is a emotional connectivity and feeling that one can bring to another human being. And when it starts to happen, there is a sense of connectivity, and if you're lucky, singularity. And you begin to be aware that there is no separation between you and that which is being comforted. You are both part of that singular source, which is yourself, the self. And when the self connects with itself and it becomes the capital S self, comfort is a given. And it works all the time, everywhere. And part of the awakened journey, if you will, is to be a comforter, to go around and offer comfort everywhere. And I use the supermarket a lot because we go there a lot. You comfort the cashier, comfort the person in line behind you and in front of you, comfort the person who holds the door for you when you walk through or hold the door open for them. Acts of comfort, of kindness, are exactly how a human being starts to experience this thing, because the experience of the greatest of all reality is that it's comforting. That's what you feel. That's what I feel. So if I'm teaching the wrong thing, I'm sorry, but it's a good thing to teach. It's a good thing. Comfort is so beautiful and so wonderful. And when two people feel it, they know it. They know they're comforted. And just the way you're looking at me right now is so comforting. And I truly am grateful for that. And I feel it. And it's a pathway between us that connects us. And that we're all connected, but most people live in, you know, divisiveness, which is mind stupidity, really. And what can you do? All you can do is you can be non-judgmental and be the one to provide comfort. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Sure. Anybody else? I have double screens here. So if you raise your hand and I'll look at the two screens. Anybody else have a question? Okay. Wendy.
I'm trying to phrase it. I guess my question is around comforting, having that outward intention of comforting and action of comforting when the surrounding is the opposite. Like, and I know Rudy talks about take in pain and give out love. So I guess kind of that's an answer, but could you speak a little more like how to approach that, you know, without getting caught up?
The only thing I can tell you is when I look at the newspaper, you might ask, why do I do that? Or watch the news, another good question, why do you do that? Or talk to most people, you can ask, why do you do that? All I hear is how terrible the world is right now and how awful things are and where they're headed, and the dark side is becoming very much an envelope around all of us. And strangely, in the midst of that, when I wake up in the morning, there's nothing but light. And I know the world has always been light and dark, yin and yang, from the beginning of time. And there have always been battles, and there have always been warriors and awful stuff going on. And there have always been mothers hugging their children. So these forces are at work. Where your narrative, your story, your whatever it's called, your repetitive patterns take you every day. Mostly repetitive patterns go to the news, and then, oh God, and you shut down in a particular way. And then somebody calls you and tells you, oh, this happened. You are, oh God, and you slow, and you cut, and you shut down. But it's a reactive pattern that people do regularly. We all do. We get programmed from very early on to react in certain ways to certain things. We get buried under the patterns, and then we suffer by the weight of our own choice of patterning. And so the spiritual journey is to let go, let go. You know, I could say don't read the newspaper, but it'll come at you from some other way, you know, and the world will always be, you know, positive, negative. It just will be. And there are dark forces. And I, you know, as a grandpa, want to make a world that's completely light and beautiful for my grandchildren. But I know I can't. But I know what I can do. And what I can do is surrender my patterning, my reactivity to all those forces that I've built up over years. And they have been surrendering over the course of 50 years of meditative practice. So I guess one can put that into the equation, you know, because if you don't do anything, well, then nothing will take place. But if you begin to have intention to let go, surrender, or in the simplest, forgive me for repeating months of the same thing, if you don't meditate and if you don't know the practice of all of that sort of spiritual stuff, bring it into the idea of be kind. And so when the world comes at you or people come at you with stuff in there to layer onto your sort of practice of being miserable, turn that around and just go, no, be kind. React to them with love, compassion, empathy, and kindness, and do that all the time. And it will completely alter the course of your life. Because, and I've said this, the Western society is not a meditative society, but it is based on, you know, biblical teaching of do unto others and do that. That's the practice. Do that and watch what happens. It will change everything. It will change your life. And that's what I'm teaching at this point. You know, it's getting more and more reduced into simple terms. And, you know, I don't know how often anybody wants to hear it, but I will keep at it, which is be good, be nice, be kind, and that will change the equation for you and everyone around you. And strangely, the environment you start to create around your life turns out to be where you live. So when you create kindness and sweetness and joy in the world around you, it will be what you live in. And that, when you wake up in the morning, will be, wow, and the light will go on. Okay?
Thank you, Bruce. That was a beautiful answer.
Is that it? Anybody? Not seeing. I'm going to change screens again, guys, and see if there's any other hands. No more hands. Okay. Okay. Thank you all. I love you all. Truly, truly love you. And
thank you, Bruce.
I'll see you the next time we're around.
Bye.